This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Oh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's a Tuesday. You probably already knew that, but just in case you were like me, you know, kind of in a fog all day yesterday and had no idea what was going on. Here we are. It's Tuesday. John Grayson in for Joe Beamer today and tomorrow, as I understand it. So we'll have another day together. And Joe is taking over the afternoon slot for the time being, as Bowerly is enjoying some time off. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff to get into. Lots of trouble to start this afternoon. Not really, but if you want to get involved in it, all you have to do is either call or text into the show, 803-0930, 803-0930. And I want to kick off, I've got a whole bunch of stuff, some Florida stories we'll get into later on and some bizarre news from around the globe. But I saw this yesterday and we didn't have time to get to it. So I figured I'd go ahead and kick off with it today because I'm always fascinated by this. As I was talking with David just a couple of minutes ago, the director, Chris Columbus, not the explorer, the movie director, over the last couple of days has made some statements about the movie Home Alone. Because I guess it's coming up to an anniversary or something like that. And he was doing an interview with Entertainment Tonight about another one of his projects. And they ask him about doing a remake or a reboot of Home Alone. And he said, I think it would be a bad idea. I don't want to see something like that happen. It stands alone as a kind of a time capsule of its era. And trying to recapture that is going to be a mistake. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that was effectively the gist of it. And first of all, I agree with him in that case, in that one case in particular about Home Alone. It's not my favorite movie. I don't think I've seen it more than once or twice since I originally saw it in the theater. It's fine. You know, it's a cute little holiday romp. Sure, fine. But there's a couple of things about it that make it stand out. First of all, it was the first time that most of us saw Macaulay Culkin, ever. It was like this brand new, really talented, you know, young kid who can mug to the camera and do all of this stuff. And he was great in that. In that idiom, he was sort of the perfect pick for that, you know? And so, I mean, the rest of the cast as well, there's just so much that goes on in that movie that trying to retell that story would be kind of a mistake. And I know, I mean, with Chris Columbus, there's probably also a little bit of ego involved in that. I mean, that's his movie, right? He made that thing. And so for somebody to come along and remake it implies that either it didn't age well or that there was some flaw in it that needed to be fixed. And I think about it, because kind of the analog in the music world is recutting somebody else's song, which happens a whole lot more in the music world than it does in the movies. It's kind of an accepted thing where you don't even need permission. Like, you need permission in the music business to do a parody song. If Weird Al wants to do a parody of your song, he asks you for permission to do that. And you can say no. In fact, there have been artists who have said no to Weird Al doing a parody of one of their songs. But if you just want to recut somebody else's song, you can. You don't need permission. You need to pay them. They generally prefer it if you make the royalties thing happen. But you don't need permission to do it. And it's, I would guess, the same thing with movies, where if you wanted to make a sequel to something, or you wanted to reboot something, that you would need that you probably wouldn't need the original artist's permission to do that. And there have been some that I think have been done very well in terms of remakes. One of my favorite movies of all time is, in fact, two of my favorite movies of all time are the opposite ends of this spectrum. One of them is did I mention I spent yesterday in a fog? So, it's one of my favorite movies, and I cannot bring the title to the fore right now. Island of Dr. Moreau. That's the one. It's an H.G. Wells novel that's been done four or five times theatrically. And in my mind, the best one was in 1977. And it starred Burt Lancaster, which, hard to go wrong there. And it was great. They remade it one more time after that with Val Kilmer, and it was horrible. So, I mean, even the 77 one was like the second or third remake, but it was great. And so what Columbus was saying effectively is he's laying out this case that there are some movies and some artworks like that are untouchable, that you shouldn't go back and try to remake that or make a better version of it or something like that. Like, one of the song that has been cut more times in history than any other song, remade by more different artists than any other song. Do you know what it is? Tanner, do you know? Do you happen to know this one off the top of your head? He's shaking his head. Yesterday by the Beatles has been recut by more artists than any other song ever. In fact, Roosevelt Greer, the football player, did a version of Yesterday. I swear I'm not making that up. I'm surprised Schoenfeld didn't do it. But anyway, so that idea that some things are untouchable, well, Yesterday is a fantastic piece of music. It's a brilliant song, but everybody does it. Nobody bats an eye. I do think, though, that there are some things you should never play with. Like remaking Dr. Moreau, fine. First of all, it's based on a novel anyway, so anything you do is automatically going to be a kind of a rehash. And I'm fine with that. However, my all-time favorite movie, a movie that I can sit there and watch anytime. You ask me, hey, do you want to go watch The Italian Job? The answer is always going to be yes. Yes, I do. Now, I'm talking about The Italian Job that was made in 1968. The one that came out was the early 90s, I guess, with Marky Mark. Oh, what an awful movie. It was horrible. It was so bad. It's hard to explain how bad that movie was, especially when you compare it to the original, to the 1968 version. And then it's even worse. I mean, I got actively angry watching that movie, going, how could they do this? How could they take one of the greatest movies ever made and just stomp all over it like this, with this nonsensical story and this awful acting? This is bad. So I thought I would toss this in your direction. The one other one that we mentioned with David Bellavia before the top of the hour was Slapshot, because I know there has been a sequel. You may have heard that sentence just come out of my mouth and gone, there was? Yeah, you wouldn't be the only one not to notice. It was also miserable. I'm trying to remember. It was one of the Baldwins. Was Stephen Baldwin, I think, was one of the stars of that movie? Yeah, that'll give you an indication about just how bad this thing was. So, in your mind, in your experience, whether it's a movie or a TV show or something like that, what is so quintessential? What's so emblematic of what it was trying to get across that you should never, ever remake it? That there shouldn't really, I mean, Home Alone had a sequel, but I think Columbus was involved in that one as well. There shouldn't be a sequel. That there shouldn't be a a remake. There shouldn't be a reboot. There shouldn't be anything like that. Just let it be what it is, that it's so perfect on its own. There was talk, I hope I'm not making this up out of whole cloth, but it seems to me that there was talk a little while ago about revisiting The Goonies. And I think about that absolutely the same way. No, leave that alone. It's fine. And I think that should probably be... Oh, somebody just texted in The Sound of Music. Absolutely. In fact, I'm going to go off on a tear on that in just a second. Thank you. 803-0930. But yeah, you made me forget where I was. Of those films, what is it that makes it so singular? Like I was saying about The Goonies, it's fine. And that's what I was going to say. That, to me, should be the first rule of, are we going to remake this? Well, if we watch the original today, is there anything wrong with it? And if the answer is no, leave it alone. Look, some movies are dated because of technology. I think The Exorcist is probably a good version of that, or a good indicator of that, is that that movie suffers not from, it just suffers from the passage of time and the fact that we've gotten so much better at special effects in movies and things like that. It was terrifying. That's another kind of a weird thing to me, by the way, is that in its day, it was terrifying. That movie, I mean, I remember the news reports at the time of people leaving the theater and like throwing up in the hallways because of what they were seeing on screen, that it was so horrifying to them that people were having these physical reactions to it. People were passing out in the theaters from fear and all of this stuff. And I think, okay, if we took a whole bunch of us and put us all in a theater today and showed The Exorcist, half of us would be laughing at it because of the special effects. Now, the story is told very effectively, and it's still a scary movie in its own right because of that. But it looks so laughable now because the movie-making tech has just gotten that much better. And I wonder about that because I grew up watching Creature Feature on Saturday afternoons. We moved to Florida when I was 9. And so when I was down there, they had this show every Saturday, hosted by a guy named Dr. Paul Bearer. And yeah, I know, cute name, right? But he was great, and he was funny, and I know every city had theirs. Every city had the Sven Gulli was, I think, out of Chicago, and there were a whole bunch of them. But he would play these awful old movies from the 50s. And I always thought to myself, did people sit there in 1958 watching this movie and really get scared? Because I'm sitting here in my living room on a Saturday afternoon as a 9-year-old, and I'm watching it going, yeah, uh-huh, what else you got? Yeah, giant ants, great. they don't look real. There's nothing about this that's scaring me in any way. But I figure that they must have, again, because of the passage of time and better movie making and everything else, really been scary to an audience in 1958. Now, if you're old enough to have been in a movie theater audience in 1958, let me know. I mean, were those movies as cheesy as we consider them now? Or is that what you... I mean, did you really go to a theater to see that kind of stuff and get scared? So, yeah, if you want to jump in... Oh, now we've got a bunch of these things coming in on the text line. 803-0930. Let's see. Okay, so we said Sound of Music, and I will mention more about that in a second. Saving Private Ryan, 100%. I mean, first of all, if you're not a director with the talent of Steven Spielberg, forget it. Don't try it. And how many directors are there with the talent of Steven Spielberg? Right, one. There's nothing wrong with that movie. Pulp Fiction, somebody said. Yeah, and in fact, if we're going to go Tarantino, I would say Reservoir Dogs. Another one of the movies that if you ask me any day, any time, do I want to watch Res Dogs? Yes, the answer is yes, I do. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Oh, man, yes. And partially because, I'm going to see if I can figure out how to say this. Nobody today is that kind of funny. And I'm not talking about levels of humorousness. I mean, there are some incredibly funny comedic actors that are out there today. But again, in the same way that horror movie making has evolved past The Exorcist by a lot, comedy has evolved past Sid Caesar and, you know, Avery Schreiber. And I mean, all of those guys were brilliant comedic actors. And that movie was incredibly funny. But if you tried to do that kind of, you know, almost the one movie that came close, and this may be the reason I just said Avery Schreiber a minute ago, is there was a movie that was made probably 10 or 15 years after It's a Mad, 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 Mad World called Scavenger Hunt. And it starred Dick Benjamin, and I'm pretty sure Avery Schreiber, yeah, he was in it. They were looking for an ostrich for some reason. This stuff never leaves my brain. So, yeah, that sort of scavenger hunt type movie. And the scavenger hunt, that movie, was awful. I mean, I still watched it, but in comparison to It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, no, there is no comparison between the two. Somebody said The Exorcist should not be remade. Okay, even though I just said there is reason to do it because the special effects don't hold up, I will go with you on that because I think that being able to capture everything else that that movie did right would be very hard. Field of Dreams, absolutely. Clockwork Orange. I love the diversity of the movies that we're getting in on the text line right now. Yeah, that's another one that's way high on my list, Clockwork Orange. My wife couldn't finish it. And this will tell you, I mean, when we're talking about a movie being dated, The Exorcist came out in, what, 1976? I think, somewhere in there. I was kind of young then. And Clockwork Orange came out before that by a few years. I don't remember exactly when Clockwork Orange came out because I was really young then, if I was even alive yet. So, but that movie is still Clockwork Orange because of the violence and everything else that goes on in that movie. It was so well done and so well acted and so well put together that you wouldn't be able to do that again. And because it is what it is, it's still, the violence still hits home. My wife could not finish that movie. She was like, I can't do this. It's too much. It's too over the top. Now, if you've seen the movie, you know that the violence involved in that was not so much for its own sake. It was parody to try to prove a point. And I think it did. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think that movie was as great as it was, is because everything it attempted to do, it did very effectively. I put Trainspotting in that same category, which was another movie she couldn't finish. So, yeah, if there are those kinds of films, and that's another one I would say, leave that one alone, too, because it was so well done that it can really deeply affect somebody like that. We've got some folks that are starting to trickle in on the phones. We'll get to you in just a second. And if you want to join us either on the text line or sometimes the text line distracts me and I see something that just totally grabs me. Somebody put up, "What's up, Doc?" All right, you, me, my sister, and probably a dozen more of us remember that movie. I saw that one in the theater. I was probably 6 or 7, but I saw it in the theater. I haven't thought about that movie in a long time, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that's another one that, you know, that kind of comedic romp, you try to do that again and you're just going to fall flat. The original was done really well. Let's bring in Gary, who's calling in from Buffalo. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you doing today, bud?
Couldn't be better. What's happening?
I think one of the greatest movies I've ever seen, and I'll watch it whenever it's on, is Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yes.
Morgan Freeman, and I forget the guy, the other guy.
Tim Robbins.
Yeah, Tim Robbins. They are awesome in that film. The peripheral inmates, the way he set the warden up, it was just unbelievable.
Yes. Well, and that's one that I think you made a good point just now, because the supporting characters in that movie make it a brilliant movie as much as the stars do. Think about the guy who was the mean cop, the mean guard, you know, when they were up on that dude's face. I mean, he just looked scary. He looked like a scary prison guard.
Yes, he did. No doubt about it. And I'm telling you, what about the old guy who didn't want to leave?
Yeah.
And then ends up doing himself in at the halfway house.
Right. Just couldn't handle it outside. Brilliant, brilliant thought, man. Gary, thank you. Thanks so much for the telephone call. That's what I'm talking about. And I think Shawshank also has something else going for it, which is, first of all, it stuck very closely to the original source work, which was Stephen King. Hard to go wrong there. And second of all, it's already a period piece. So it's supposed to look a little dated. And that means, I guess, that the more time goes on, it's not going to suffer for that because it was set in its time. So, yeah, I would definitely think that Shawshank ought to be on the list. If you want to get in and do some talking with us, grab a line, 803-0930. John Grayson in for Joe Beamer. It is a Tuesday, and we've got plenty more of it to come. So, yeah, remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Don't wear yourself out right here at the beginning. 803-0930. More on the way.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away.
This is not Roosevelt Greer. Pretty sure that's the original. John Grayson in for Joe Beamer today. And we'll get back to the phones here in just a second. What we're talking about is movies that should never be remade. Things that are, for one reason or another, and we'll go more into that in a second, just, they should stand alone. Because Chris Columbus was just asked about this concerning Home Alone. And I have his quote here. This is what he actually said. He said, "I think Home Alone really exists as, not as at this timepiece, but it was this very special moment, and you really can't recapture that. I think it's a mistake to try to go back and recapture something we did 35 years ago. I think it should be left alone." And I'm with him on that. And on some movies I am. On others, it's fine. If if a movie doesn't hold up or you want to take a different run at it, then I think that's fine. But what's coming in on the text line, somebody said Casablanca. Yes. And it's funny because there's a lot of different reasons why you should avoid remaking a movie. With Casablanca, texter says it was perfect, never should be remade. It's also iconic. And when a movie gets to that kind of iconic status, do you remember when they tried to do a shot-for-shot remake of Psycho? If you don't, it's because it was in theaters for about 15 minutes. Nobody wanted that. Nobody wanted that. The movie's iconic. There's nothing wrong with it. And if you watch it today, it's as moving and compelling as it was in 1960. So that's on there. Somebody said Top Gun. Oh, wait, never mind. Yeah, very cute. Because they just did. And somebody asked, what's the reason to even remake a movie? Doesn't anybody have any original ideas? I get it. And yes, I think it happens far too often, but I think especially if you're talking about, like we said before, movies that come from books, you can never translate a book perfectly to the big screen. Some are much better than others, but you can never do it perfectly. So if somebody has a different idea about how to tell that story on screen, I'm a big fan of the movie Christine, to the point that I've had a few of those 58 Plymouths over time. Love those cars. But they are remaking that. And the book wasn't all that faithful to the source materials, or the movie, rather, wasn't all that faithful to the source materials. So I think there is reason to do it. I hope they do it nearly as well as it was done the first time. Jurassic Park came in, Green Mile came in a couple of times, two people back to back, as a matter of fact. The Birds, and I want to go back real quick before we get back to the phones to Sound of Music, because that's one of the other reasons why I think some movies shouldn't be remade. It's not so much that the movie was perfect or that it stands as an icon, but it's because of the people that were in it. Like, no, I could not buy anybody else as Maria von Trapp other than Julie Andrews. That's it. So since she can't do it, then no, leave it alone. It's fine. We'll go back to the phones on that and bring in Jack, who's calling in from North Buffalo. Hey, Jack.
Hey, John. How are you?
Doing fine. What's on your mind?
Well, the one I don't think they should ever do a remake on is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yes.
What a classic. I mean, those actors were so perfect.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you said actors. Unlike with Sound of Music and Julie Andrews, with that movie, it's every person on that cast. The woman who played Nurse Ratched was perfect. Jack Nicholson was perfect. The guy who played the Native American, he was perfect.
The chief.
Yeah, the chief, right. Even Martini, Danny DeVito. Who else is going to play that?
Yeah. Yep.
You know? You're right. I bet a nickel.
Yeah. When he did the baseball game, oh, my God, that was so funny.
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah.
Man, oh, perfect.
Good stuff.
And when I said, any movie that comes in, I'll watch is Tombstone. I thought that was a terrific movie.
Yep.
I thought Kurt Russell was perfect in it. So was Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer, yeah.
Who I thought should have got probably Best Supporting Actor or something.
I'm with you.
He was so good in Doc Holliday, you know. But then the other thing is, if I watch any John Wayne Western, I don't care what it is. If I watched it 100 times, I'll keep watching it.
Do you have a favorite?
With John Wayne?
Yeah.
Not really. I like them all.
I went to, I had a really good friend when I was in my freshman year of high school, whose name was Mike Brannigan, and he had the movie poster for the John Wayne movie Brannigan on the back of his, on the back of his bedroom door. And that's the reason why I saw that movie in the first place. I went, because he had that poster. I didn't even know the movie existed. So I went down to the video store and picked it up. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't realize he really was a pretty good actor.
Yep.
You know?
Without doubt. Hey, Jack, really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Can I have one question?
Sure.
If you don't mind?
No.
Now, did you say you graduated from Ken West?
No, I would have. We ended up moving to Florida when I was a kid. Our house was like 2.5 blocks from West. So, I would have gone there and likely would have graduated from there. But, we were already gone.
Yeah. Well, glad you're back to the home base.
I appreciate it. So am I, Jack. Take care of yourself, man. Yeah, that's – back up a second. All right, I'm going to stop interrupting myself. I've got like 8 trains of thought that are all crashing and trying to get out of my mouth at the same time. The first time that we filled in here was for Bowerly, and it was, I don't know, a year or two ago. And mentioned at that point that, yeah, my family, we had a business here in town. Pico's Pizza was us. There was one on Delaware that's really, by the time I was old enough, there were only 2 left. At one point, we had 6 or 7 of them. But the only 2 that were left at that point were on Bailey and the one that was on Delaware, just a little bit north of the Youngman. Would that be north or east? Northeast? I don't know. But yeah, right down the road, 4241 Delaware. It's a John's Pizza now. So, yeah, if you remember that place, that was us. That was our connection. But, yeah, that was at a point where selling pizza could earn you a pretty nice retirement. And so, yeah, my grandfather ended up in Honolulu and Dad got sick of shoveling snow and took us all to Tampa. So, you know, I'm back. That's about as good as it can possibly be. Now, thanks again to everybody who participated on the text line and put in all of these movies. I mean, The Hustler just came in. The Shining just came in a little while ago. 8 Mile. Somebody said, what? You don't see Pink as Maria Von Trapp? You know, she's incredibly talented, but no. No, I don't. Anyway, thanks for everybody getting involved in that. That was great fun. Want to switch to something here real quick that, again, was something that crossed the desk yesterday and we just didn't have time to get to it. There is something going on in the automotive industry that's really starting to irritate me. Are you familiar with the fact that the car companies are now starting to launch subscription services? And I'm not talking about, like, okay, the one I think we're all aware of is, for the longest time, even though most of them don't do this anymore, you had to buy a subscription if you got a car that had a built-in GPS. Well, I mean, who uses those anymore? We all have a GPS in our phone, and you plug the phones into the car, and now it pops up on the car screen. So really, yeah, paying for the subscription for a GPS doesn't make a whole lot of sense anymore. But for a time, it did. That's not what I'm talking about. What they're doing now is some car companies anyway, and I'll give you two examples here in just a second, are using subscription-based services for you to be able to use features of the car. Mercedes, I don't know if they were the first ones to do it, but they were among the first ones to do it. And they started launching these subscriptions for things like if you wanted your seat heaters to work. And I kind of get it from the business standpoint about why they would do that, because it makes the assembly line a whole lot more efficient if you make every car exactly the same. But if you make every car exactly the same, you're not able to sell option packages later on. You know what I mean? So if you can build every car with seat heaters, and it's cheaper than just waiting for somebody to buy one with that option package on it. It's cheaper to manufacture that way because everything is the same. So they started doing that and saying, okay, all the cars are going to be equipped with seat heaters, but if you want to use them, you've got to pay us. And there were other features that went along with that as well. Now, Volkswagen has jumped into the game, and this is where it gets really galling, especially with the excuse that they tried to crock up on this one. Volkswagen, and Mercedes and Volkswagen, Germans. Volkswagen is now launching a subscription service to make the engine more powerful. Yeah, and what that means, I guess, that's the way they're saying it, is we're going to offer you a subscription. So if you pay us a yearly subscription fee, or if you buy the lifetime thing right at the beginning, then you'll get the more powerful version of the engine. What that really means is that they're holding for ransom the power in your engine and purposely throttling it down. Yeah, and making you pay for them not to throttle it down. I mean, they pose it as, oh, we're going to give you something special that you can buy. No, that's not what you're doing. The car's engine has a certain number of horsepower and a certain number of pound-feet of torque. Or is it foot-pounds? Whatever it is. So it has all of that already. And you are extorting me if I want to use all of that horsepower and all of those pound feet or foot pounds of torque. No, I reject this out of hand. And the excuse that they used was so bizarre, because they said, well, you know, this really isn't anything new. It's always been that you could get a more powerful engine, or, you know, get more power out of your engine if you paid more for it. That's not the same thing. The way you got more power in earlier days is you got a bigger carburetor, or you got a bigger engine, or, you know, there were a million things. You could get a turbocharger or a supercharger, whatever. You were adding things to the car to make it more powerful. This is not that. This is you purposely throttling the power down out of my car and then saying, well, if you pay me, I'll give it back to you. No. And I hate the fact that I think this is going to work. You know what I mean? That I think this is going to be a successful model to the point that we're going to start to see other car manufacturers, including domestic car manufacturers, Japanese car manufacturers, and others around the world, start to do this same kind of thing. And it's like, no, don't put it in the car if you're not going to let me use it without paying extra for it. Now, what they could do is just add whatever that lifetime subscription fee is to the car and just charge more for the car. They don't want to do that for whatever reason. I don't know. But maybe it comes back to that idea of making all the cars exactly the same again. And then just saying, okay, if you want the bigger, more powerful thing, then you're going to have to pay us for it. You're going to have to ransom that. So I don't know. I mean, if you see this a different way than I do, I just see it as one more ploy, one more knife stuck in to pull just a little bit more money out of each and every one of us for something that we already have. You know, when I talked about this, when it was Mercedes and when they were doing the seat heater thing and, you know, making you pay for other features, pay a subscription fee for other features on the car. It took me down a road of just looking at this and saying, okay, somebody's going to hack it, right? Because if they tell you that's the way they're going to get the thing to work is when you pay the subscription fee, they're going to do some kind of over-the-air update to the software that's in your car and turn it into a, you know, the car where the seat heaters work. You're not going to have to go in and have them physically do anything. So if all that needs to happen is a computer fix, you better believe somebody out there is going to figure out how to do it. And they're going to have their seat heaters on for free. But the problem with that is that then puts us in a situation where if you are not very tech savvy, then you're going to have to pay for your seat heaters. And some punk kid who just earned a computer math degree and a computer science degree out of some university somewhere and is going to look at that and go, oh, really? That's your code? Oh, that's cute. And they're going to have all of the bells and whistles on for free where the rest of us are either going to be stuck paying for it or living without. So, like I said, if you want to jump in on this, 803-0930, I don't know. It's irritating to me to see the world going in this direction. And part of the other reason I think they're going to be successful with it is that we already have gotten ourselves into a mindset of fee-based and subscription-based services. How many do you have, honestly? Streaming on TV, streaming music. You know, there's 1,000 things that we pay these little subscription fees for. And the car companies figured that out and said, okay, you know, if they're already in that mindset of this is the way the world works, let's make our business work that way. And maybe it is just a factor of if you wait it out, and maybe they think we're already there, that it's been that way long enough that people who are going to be especially like first or second time car buyers, people who are in their early 20s to early 30s, they've grown up. It's not even just that they've gotten used to subscription services. They grew up with them. So if they figure we're already there, then they don't care about me. They know I'm going to buy a car or not, but that kind of stuff isn't going to make the decision for me one way or the other. So what they care about is this going to fly with somebody who is, you know, 25, 26, 27 years old, that we can keep this going for the rest of time simply because they will have grown up with it always being that way. And so they won't know what a just galling little ploy this is to try to take all of our money from us. It's like, don't give me something and then tell me I can't use it unless I continue to pay you. That's just not cool. So thanks, Volkswagen. A couple of quick ones before we get to the top of the hour. And again, anytime you want, you can hit us up on the text line at 803-0930 or call in. we'll get a little farther into this one after the top of the hour as well. Take you to Richmond, Kentucky real quick, where there is a woman named Stephanie Carlquist, and she broke up with her boyfriend, or he broke up with her. I don't know. She is an ex-girlfriend. And she apparently either was angry at her ex-boyfriend or just didn't like the fact that they broke up. Something happened. And she decided to take it out on his car. She's accused of doing any number of things, including pouring salt in the engine. Yeah, that's a new engine, okay? There's no coming back from that. Putting glitter in the air conditioner. She slashed one of the tires, cracked the windshield, cracked the rearview mirror. How very Hootie and the Blowfish of her. And shattered the car's radio screen. So she did a number on this thing. Now, two things stuck out to me as I was reading this article. Now, she's admitted to doing all of this. She's already been arrested. She's going to have to answer for all of this. She said that she told police that she slashed one tire on July 6th and did the rest of the damage after an argument on July 15th. The cost of the damages, by the way, totaled $12,464.96. Police say she told the ex-boyfriend about damaging the car. When they arrived to take it to Goodyear, the tow truck driver then called the victim's mom to tell her about the admission. So, yeah, she's apparently got some issues. And it brought to mind another car. This was not mine. This was a friend of mine who had a woman living in his home. They were not romantically involved, at least not to the best of my knowledge, but she was just living there as kind of a roommate. And she did something, and he got mad and kicked her out. She took a hammer to his car. A beautiful car, by the way. It was an old classic Barracuda. And she took a hammer to it. And you never know. I mean, that's the trick with breakups, right? Is you never know when somebody is just going to go bananas and do something like that. And if you've got stories to tell, I'm here to listen. But the other thing that stuck out to me, and this is what I want to talk to you about, is that of all of the things that she did, slashing the tire, breaking the rear view, breaking the window, putting salt in the engine, all of those are incredibly destructive. And they're not very clever. Like, it's a blunt instrument, right? To me, revenge is always better when it's non-destructive, where it won't get you arrested, and where it's got a certain cleverness about it. And I have to say, putting glitter in the AC vents is fantastic. I mean, that's brilliant because it's not destructive. It doesn't hurt anything. And you don't see it coming. And it's one of those things that when you get into that car the first time on that hot day and you flip that switch and turn the fan all the way on high and poof, glitter comes flying out of the dashboard at you. That moment of trying to figure out what on earth just happened is grand. And I mean, inducing that in somebody else, especially somebody else that you're trying to get revenge on, has a certain brilliance to it. I absolutely love that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that after the top of the hour. And if you've got ideas along that front, not that I want to encourage revenge, but you know, sometimes it's necessary. Something that you have heard of, or maybe even have done to somebody. The only rules are nobody gets hurt, no property is destroyed, and like I said, it's got to have that kind of clever factor to it where you can get back at somebody in a way that they know you just got one over on them, but you still didn't do anything that's going to hurt, you know, human beings, animals, or property. So if you've got one of those, again, I'm here to listen. 803-0930. We'll check in on the text line in a little while. We've got plenty more coming up after the top of the hour. Oh, and I do want to mention to you, back on the subject of pop culture, tomorrow we're going to have a conversation with a woman that I've never spoken to before, but I knew her husband a little bit. Dreema Denver is going to be here with us. She's got a brand new book all about her husband, Bob Denver. Yeah, Gilligan and Maynard G. Krebs and the guy from Far Out Space Nuts and all of the rest of that stuff. That show is seeing its 60th anniversary this year. Gilligan's Island is. And so she's put out this incredible book full of her memories of him and a whole bunch of pictures of things like, you know, news articles and all of this and letters that they wrote back and forth to each other. It's really great. And so we're going to check in with her and do some reminiscing about the brilliance of Bob Denver on the program tomorrow. So make sure you're around for that. Plenty more coming up after the top of the hour. John Grayson in for Joe Beamer. Hour number two of the program. John Grayson in for Joe Beamer this afternoon, and happy to be here, and happy to have you along for the ride as well. If you want him with us, 803-0930, 803-0930, and got a whole bunch out on the table for you already. We talked in the first hour about remaking movies and movies that should never be remade, all because of a comment made by director Chris Columbus, and we got into a little bit about Volkswagen charging a subscription to have your car's engine perform at its peak performance, its peak power, that you have to buy a subscription to have the all of the power of your engine unleashed. And got into one just before the top of the hour about a young lady who went off on her boyfriend's car in a lot of ways that were very destructive and caused $12,000 worth of damage, all to get revenge on her ex for whatever argument they had or something. For some reason, she was angry at him. But the one thing that she did that I thought was clever and is the kind of either prank or revenge material that you should use if you're of a mind to do that, she put glitter in the air conditioning vents. And that's the kind of, you're not going to know it's there until, you know, it's too late and you're already covered in glitter. That's hilarious. And, you know, just better ways to do it that aren't going to cause any destruction to person, property, or animal nearby. That's the kind of revenge I really dig. We'll go to Mark in West Seneca to kick off the hour. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Very good, John. How you doing?
Fantastic. What are you going to add in?
I had a question for you. You mentioned Pico's Pizza in the last hour.
I did.
About your family owned that.
Yep.
I remember the one on Bailey Avenue because it was the old A-frame. It was a block over from Dartmouth on Bailey.
That's right.
And I worked with an Andy Grayson back in the 80s. Was that your brother?
It's my uncle.
Your uncle? Okay, because I worked with him at a neighborhood bakery called Ken Paul Bakery, which is in Cleveland Plaza. When I was in my 20s before I moved to Florida, and I was, when you said that about Pico's Pizza, I thought, well, that's got to be more than a coincidence. It had to be a relish.
yes, indeed. In fact, he was named after my great grandfather, and yeah, his middle name is like the family name of the town where we came from in Scotland. But Andy, in fact, he managed the Pico's on Delaware briefly, like in the late 80s.
Yeah, that was right after he had left the bakery, because I used to go and see him there, because it was the one, now they call it John's Famous Subs, and they say they're the first ones ever to do chicken finger subs, and they're not. I mean, you guys did it before that.
Thank you for remembering. Yeah.
I know that. And the movie I wanted to say that shouldn't be remade, The Great Escape.
Oh, yes, 100%. Another one of my all-time favorite films. Yeah, it's nothing like the true story, but it doesn't matter. It's still a brilliant movie.
Yeah, and you can never replace the people that were in it.
Yeah, true enough. Mark, thank you. Thanks very much for the call. And for the kind words about Pico's. It's funny how restaurants like that and places that we grow up with, and I mean, I didn't just grow up with Pico's. I grew up in Pico's, right? The one on Delaware mostly because it was closest to the house. But, you know, when they go away, It's amazing to me, like years ago, probably 15 years ago, I built a Facebook page, like a fan page to Pico's, just to see if anybody out there remembered. Oh, my Lord, the number of people that over time have put in, just little remembrances, people that work there, people that, you know, wanted to rehook up with people that they used to work with. It's amazing. And we don't sometimes appreciate that as owners of a business. That, you know, it becomes a part of people's lives, especially restaurants. I mean, it was not the plan, you know, for Pico's to go away. But family business, it's, again, it's a long story not worth telling. But it means so much to me as a kid and even as an adult now that those memories are still out there. So that's really nice to hear. And yeah, I we just think of it as, okay, this is what we do. And we make pizzas and, you know, we never delivered, but, the number of people that would come in after the high school football games every Friday and it just packed the place. It was great. And I guess it's hard for us sometimes to see past that and into what that meant to the people who were there. Cause that's the whole point of a restaurant, is that it's not just about serving people food. It's about an experience. It's about good times. And if you have good times and you have good food going on at the same time, that stays with you. So, again, thank you. Thank you to everybody for all of the kind words on that. Couple of things to get into this hour. I've been waiting to get to this story. Again, talked with David Bellavia about this real briefly, and I guess he touched on it too earlier on in his show. There's a woman in Rhode Island who is in a lot of trouble. And she's in a lot of trouble of her own making. She is, I think, still currently, although I don't know for how long, a deputy attorney general. in Rhode Island, and she was out with her husband and a college friend of theirs out in Newport, Rhode Island, which is, I don't know if you know from Newport. Newport is, that's where all of the big mansions are, like the Breakers is there and all of this. They've got like Mansion Row. And it's, yeah, it's a fine little town. So they're out for drinks of an evening, and for some reason, and it's not really clear why, they became unwelcome at this restaurant. So there's this party going on and all of this, and it's kind of a restaurant bar, and it's very alive and buzzy. And for some reason, the restaurant decided they were no longer welcome. So they tried to get them to leave. I don't know if they were being loud and belligerent, but it doesn't matter. For some reason, they were not allowed in the restaurant anymore. So because they had been out for drinks of an evening, the two women were probably a little more than half in the bag. They're not slurring, which is the one thing that you'll hear in the audio that I'm about to play, but it's pretty clear that they are in the loud in your face stage of getting white girl drunk. Okay. To use the term to art. And because she was a deputy, or is still, I guess, a deputy attorney general in the state of Rhode Island, she decided when the cops showed up, because they didn't want to leave. The restaurant asked them to leave. They said no. The restaurant called the cops. Cops show up, and immediately she plays the "Don't you know who I am" card. There is a sentence in the English language that sets me on edge like no other, and it's that one. I don't care who it is that says it, but as soon as you start the "Don't you know who I am," my answer is going to be, yeah, you're the guy who's really torquing me off right now, so back it off a little bit. It's so awful, because first of all, it's an attempt to put them in a superior position to you, which is something you should always try with a cop, by the way. Great. Brilliant strategy. Thanks, Napoleon. So she tried that. And we'll get to the audio here in a second. Let me just explain what you're going to hear. And I've got four little clips out of this. One's about a minute long, and the other ones are a little bit shorter than that. So this is the woman who is the deputy attorney general, is the first one that you're going to hear from. Actually, what you're going to hear first is the cop asking the guy, presumably a manager at the restaurant, do you want to pursue this? Do you want us to trespass them? Go ahead and roll that first clip.
You guys just want to know, do you want them trespassed?
Anything we can do. Yeah. Trespass, yeah. I just need
them. Trespass, get them out.
Yeah. Please. It's the only way.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I know that your protocol is...
So you're trespassed, so we got to leave now. Unless you want to be an ambulance.
We're not trespassing. You haven't notified us that we're trespassing. Number one,
what did I just say to you?
That, to me, is brilliant. Yeah, I mean, did you hear? Okay, I don't know if you caught what the cop said at the very end of that clip, because she said she's trying the lawyer speak. You can't trespass us. You haven't notified us that we're trespassing. And he said, what did I just say to you? Because the last thing he said to her was, the restaurant wants you trespassed. You have to leave now. Now, the crazy part about this and how insane this is about to get is that she's attempting to make a case. And the cop is telling her, listen, if you don't want to end up in handcuffs, you need to leave. That's it. All she needed to do was turn around and walk away. And if she had done that, there would have been no problem. The incident would have been over, and everybody would have forgotten about this by now. But she didn't want to do that one simple thing because, well, you know, we've had a couple, and we don't want to leave. And then she goes on.
Number one,
let's go.
Number one, number
I don't
two,
want to arrest you guys.
You're not going to arrest us. Number two,
so let's
is
leave.
That
we got to go. We got to go.
Protocol
let's go.
Is,
let's
can
go.
We come down for 1 second? Is if we yeah. ask you to
I don't,
the body
I don't
want to
deal with this. Let's
okay.
Go.
No, okay. I understand you don't want to deal with it, okay. But the protocol wait, is, wait, and your can, protocol can, is if I ask you to turn off the body cam, you have to turn it off. And that's your protocol.
She's a f***ing lawyer, so she knows.
Well, that's bullshit lawyer stuff, so that's not true. So we got to go.
No, it is. That's law.
I'm an AG. I'm an AG.
Good for you. I don't give a shit. Let's go. We're going. Let's go. We're leaving.
Please don't put your hands on us.
Can you get your children out of here? Like, I don't know why.
I'm sorry, what?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Come on. There
are two full-grown women and mothers.
All right. You're just being detained.
I'm an AG.
What is it?
What's wrong with you?
You're being detained because you're not leaving.
Because I'm what?
Can you relax? Sir, she's not doing anything wrong.
AG.
She's not leaving.
I'm an AG.
She's an AG.
What?
You're not. She's not being arrested. Let's go.
I'm not being arrested. You're putting me in cuffs?
Okay, now, the one little beep you heard right there toward the end of that, I put in because you could hear clearly in the background as she's doing her, I'm the AG bit and trying to do the don't you know who I am? You can't arrest me. Look, it doesn't matter what your job is. You can be arrested. Anybody can. So while she's doing that, things are ramping up. You heard the friend jump in there and say, she's a meep lawyer, right? So they separate those two, and you could hear in the background the friend starting to ramp up toward the cop that she was with. You'll hear more from her in just a few, but before we do, let's hear the last bit that we're going to hear from the current Deputy Attorney General.
Buddy, you're going to regret this.
Yeah.
You're going to regret it. I'm an agent.
I love that. Okay, so you're going to regret this. Tell that to a cop. They love hearing that. You're going to regret this, buddy. And then he slams the door on her at what had to be the perfect time. She was trying it one more time, and she didn't even get the G out. Can you replay that clip one more time?
Buddy, you're going to regret this.
Yeah.
You're going to regret it. I'm an agent.
Slam. Awesome. Okay, so now, again, I want to point out all she had to do was shut her mouth, turn around and walk. Okay? Now she's in cuffs. Now she's in the back of the cop car. You heard the door slam. Now let's go revisit the friend. And let me set this up a little bit by telling you that a lot has happened. And there is an edit in this just for time. I got rid of a lot of the screaming that you're about to hear, but there was a lot of it. I wanted you to hear the beginning and the end of what happened to the friend. Now, as I said, she was that little beep you heard at the end of that long clip. She was starting to ramp up and told the cop to keep his blanking hands off of her. And that's where we begin the next clip.
We will get the license.
Your hands off me.
We will get the license.
She's
getting
detained. No.
Get out of here.
Get in the car.
No. Babe, no!
You got
right
two
here.
To ten.
I'm right here.
Get
no!
Guys. Just put her in.
No!
Get back, bro.
Dad!
In the car.
Dad!
In the car.
No!
Get your feet in the car.
No! I'm right here.
All they're doing while all of that screaming is going on is putting her in the car. Okay, nobody's being beaten, nobody's being stabbed or shot or tased or anything. They are simply seating her in the back of the police car while she's doing all that screaming. Meanwhile, poor Dan is over there going, I'm right here. Would you please calm down? You're overreacting, he said to her at one point. And so she continues squealing and they finally get her in. And what she kept doing, at some point she had kicked off her shoes. And what she kept doing is sticking her feet down outside the car door so that when they went to slam the car door, it would hit her in the leg. And so they kept telling her, put your feet in the car. And she's screaming. You think old Dan there is reexamining some of his life choices at this point? Because I want to tell you that's like right up there at dental drill in terms of annoyance. Poor guy. And through the entire thing, he was trying. I don't know how much he had to drink. I don't know if he had anything to drink. He might have been the designated driver. But he kept trying to mediate through the entire thing. The only thing he didn't do is he never said what I said, which is just stop talking. He doesn't want to debate you. The cop does not want to debate you about the law, about his body cam. That was the one thing that the deputy attorney general was whining about, is that she kept saying that it was their protocol, the police protocol. She's going to explain the guy's job to him, too, was to turn the body camera off if it was requested by a citizen. And what the cop told her is, no, it isn't. And she didn't want to listen because how dare you tell me I'm the deputy AG or she didn't use deputy. She said, I'm an AG. just how could you blow it that badly? Two of you, right? Because it was the deputy AG and her friend who both were tag teaming this thing. And neither one of you has a firing synapse in your head telling you, okay, I could be out of trouble entirely. And the guy in front of me with the handcuffs is telling me that if I don't do what could get me out of trouble entirely, those handcuffs are going to be on me. How is it that somebody has the kind of entitlement in their body, in their brain, that says, no, I don't want it. So I'm going to sit here and debate a cop who's just trying to get me to move 10 feet that way. I'm going to do that. I'm going to start just, you know, really seriously debating this guy on the street about his job versus my job. Then I'm going to tell him that he needs to listen to me because of what my job is. And then I'm sure it'll all work out in my favor. I don't know what's going to happen to this woman. I don't know if this is going to cost her job. It might, because I mean, that's somebody who works in the attorney general's office as an attorney who is out there drunk and belligerent with a cop and getting themselves arrested for it. I'll see if there's any update on this yet. This is still a kind of a new story, so I don't know if the AG's office has had a chance to weigh in. But I'm going to also guess that it's probably not going to take them a whole long time to do it. We'll get to the phones. Bob and DePue, if you can, hang on through the bottom of the hour with us. We'll get to you right afterward. And if you want to jump in and do some talking about this, by all means. I mean, definitely one of the more entertaining. And in the video, also choice, and it's out there on YouTube, so you can catch that as well. 803-0930 is the number to get in on the phone, on the text line. Plenty more to come. John Grayson in for Joe Beamer.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Well, here we are for the final 22 minutes or so of the broadcast. John Grayson in for Joe Beamer today and tomorrow. So if you like what you're hearing, you get a little bit more of it. And if you don't, well, you only have to endure one more day, at least this week. So what am I going to tell you? 803-0930 if you want to get in. And what do you say we go to Florida, shall we? It's always fun to go there because, you know, if you want bizarre things to happen around you, there's only one place where it's almost guaranteed. I got three of them today, so strap in. As we start in Wakulla County, I'm going to have to look at that on a map because I'm not even sure where Wakulla County is, and I lived in Florida. It's probably panhandle somewhere. Oh, it is. How about that? Yeah, about as far as you can get in the Florida panhandle. Kind of Tallahassee area, a little bit south of that. So right on the Gulf. Anyway, Wakulla County, we find a woman. Her name is Helen Litchfield, and she's 71 years old. She was on her way home and saw a man and his two daughters fishing off of a bridge. Because, you know, it's Florida. There's a lot of waterways there. So sees them fishing off a bridge. And becomes suspicious. We don't know why she became suspicious, but we know that she did. And thought that something looked off, that the guy could not be, in her mind, the father of these two girls, even though we know he was. I mean, he was legitimately their father. But for some reason, the 71-year-old woman goes driving by and sees him and thinks, that guy can't be their father. There's something weird going on here. Maybe it's human trafficking. So instead of doing what you would do, what you and I would do in a situation like that, which is if you see something you think is that suspicious, call the cops and say, hey, there's a guy. He's fishing. He's going to be there for a while, right? You don't have to worry that this guy is going to be 5 minutes from now. He's going to be gone. So he's going to be there for a while. Call the cops and say, listen, there's a guy that's fishing with these two girls, and it just looks funny to me. I don't think he's their real father. And let the cops go check it out. They can ID him. They can do whatever. And which brings up another interesting question, by the way, which I'll get to in a minute. But she didn't do that. She, in her mind, cooked up a plan. What am I going to do? How am I going to get this guy to admit that I'm right and that he's not their father? So what she did was she drove up to them and said, hey, listen, I live nearby. And I have a pond in the back of my house that's full of fish. If you guys want, instead of just fishing off of this bridge, you can come fish out of my pond and you'll probably catch a lot more fish, have a lot more fun, and have a lot more food when you're done with this little fishing jaunt. So they said, hey, that's very nice of you. That sounds great. Sure. And they went with her to her house, where she then held them at gunpoint. Wow, is this Florida? Holding the family at gunpoint, according to WCTV, claiming that she didn't believe the girls were really the man's daughters. She's now been charged with 3 counts of kidnapping, 3 counts of aggravated assault, and 1 count of armed burglary. While the family insisted that they were indeed related, she didn't believe them. What it doesn't say, and I'm sure they didn't get to interview this woman, so there's no way they could know for the article, but they don't talk about what it was that made her suspicious of that in the first place. Was the guy like way older than them? Because even that's no guarantee. You can have kids forever. Look, isn't Al Pacino about to become a dad at like 82? Tanner's just shaking his head in there. Yeah, I know. I didn't say it was a good idea. I don't want to see my kid graduate from high school when I'm 100. So if he makes it that far. They don't say why she had trouble believing that the guy was their father, but she did, and allegedly searched their car while still holding them at gunpoint. Looking for what? The incident ended after Litchfield's roommate, who apparently is not totally insane, helped guide the family to a fence while the suspect was distracted. The father and daughters then ran away. Litchfield was arrested Friday and taken off to the Wakulla County Jail. And that's all we know at this point. I will say this woman brings new meaning to the word or to the term crazy eyes. I mean, they should have seen her coming. It's like, you see those and she's asking you to come home with her. I would find an excuse not to. So there's Florida story number one. And in case you thought, well, it can't get any weirder than that. Yeah, it can. Out of Marion County, Florida, a man has now been arrested. His name is Antonio Roman. And he was arrested on Sunday on multiple charges, including stalking and battery of disabled victims. You ready for this one? This guy's house is on a roadway in Marion County, Florida, where there is a nearby school for the disabled. And the bus stop for the school for the disabled is right out front of his house on the grass verge. That's where the kids stand and wait for the school bus to get there so they can take them off to the school. And he didn't like that. He also didn't like the fact that because it's a school for the disabled, that they were using part of his driveway as a de facto wheelchair ramp for the kids to get up into the little grassy area where they could wait for the bus. This guy is a real sweetheart, apparently. I mean, dude, you don't have room twice a day for like 5 minutes for a bunch of disabled kids waiting for the school bus? What is your malfunction? What's wrong with you? But apparently this got him angry. He didn't like the fact that they were using his driveway, didn't like the fact that they were standing out there, and admitted all of this to the police, by the way. So what he would do is he would sit in his house, and he had surveillance cameras set up outside. So he would sit there and wait for all of the kids to gather at the bus stop. And as soon as they were all there waiting for the bus, he'd flip on the sprinklers. And as soon as they were gone, he'd turn them back off again. And then in the afternoon, when the kids came back, sure enough, he would, you know, as soon as they all got off the bus, boom, on go the sprinklers. Well, you know what that is? I mean, in addition to being unfathomably cruel, it's also illegal. You can't do that. See, I wish that most of us were better educated on fine points of law as concerns assault and battery. And because this happened in Florida, and I'm not an attorney, I'm not a lawyer, but I do pay attention to things, and I tend to read a lot, so trust me on this one. In Florida, there are separate crimes for assault and battery. Assault is a threat. If I make you afraid, I have assaulted you. If I touch you in any way without your consent, even if I, you know, if you're sitting there at the table, like at a restaurant, and you've got your hand on the table, and I put my little pinky finger and touch your hand with it, and you tell me, don't do that, and I do it again, that's battery. Simple battery, you know, and it's not aggravated battery or anything like that, but it is a crime. You can't touch somebody without their consent. And what courts decided years ago is that that extends to effectively throwing something at somebody. Like, if I throw the scene in the old TV shows where the woman gets mad at a guy and throws a drink on him. Okay, in Florida, that's battery. Even though she didn't technically touch him, she touched something that she made touch him against his will. And so that counts. So by this guy turning the sprinklers on, yeah, that's battery on a disabled person. Well done, guy. Hope you got all your frustrations out. And yeah, he did admit it. Detectives, not deputies, said that Roman admitted to being upset about the bus stop's location, which partially used his driveway for a wheelchair ramp, and acknowledged using the surveillance cameras to time the sprinkler activation. Unbelievable. I mean, how? First of all, why? And second of all, how do you live with yourself knowing that every day you get up and soak down a bunch of disabled kids with your sprinklers, and then just go on about your merry way? I mean, there's a lot I don't understand about this story. I don't understand why that makes somebody angry. You know, well, they're using my front lawn for a bus stop. Yeah, that happens. And it's legal, by the way, because that grass verge isn't yours. Beyond the sidewalk, I mean, depending on where you live, and I know that some places it is. So you'll have the sidewalk as a public right-of-way, and there's generally, it's not an easement. There's a name for it. I can't remember what it is. But yeah, in Florida, I can tell you, yes, that grass verge is not part of your property. That is, that's public property. So, as a matter of fact, I was on my way here today, I was driving down, where was I? Trying to remember what street I was on, and I don't. Anyway, it was somewhere in Clarence, and they had the piece of heavy equipment going down and mowing that part of it. Because if you're the homeowner on that street, you don't have to mow that part. The city does it for you. And again, it's because it's technically their land. So Yeah, depending on where you live, it's like that in a lot of places. So, yeah, I mean, just what is it that gets into somebody's head? And I think the answer to that is living in Florida. I don't know why. And, I was able to get out after a period of time. I got out at night, you know, over the fence with the dogs and the hot air balloon and the whole thing. But, yeah, I was able to make my escape. And so maybe, I mean, who knows? If I was still there, I might be nuts. More nuts than I already am if I still lived in Florida. And I think it's probably a pretty good case to make. So that's Florida story number two. Florida story number three comes to us from the good folks at Channel 8, Fox 8 in Clay County, Florida, where this was another one. Lady, what are you thinking? And the answer is, you're not. A mother faces charges after police say she packed a gun in her child's book bag during the first week of classes at the student's elementary school. Yeah, she sent a kid to elementary school with a gun in his backpack. Oh, it gets better. Oh, it gets so much better. So you might be thinking, okay, why would she do that? Well, the parents of this child, who is not named, obviously, because, first of all, he didn't do anything wrong, and second of all, because of his age, his parents split up. So mom has custody in some cases, dad has custody in some cases. And according to this article, when confronted about this, the mother said that what she had done, her name is Sierra Bonner, by the way, and she said that what she had done is put the gun in the child's backpack. Now, I'll give credit to the kid because he did exactly what he was supposed to do. Got to school, opened the book bag up, saw a gun in there, and went, whoa, and immediately went to a teacher and said, here, I don't want this. And so they put the school on lockdown, and the cops came and all of this. And so they went to talk to mom. They went to talk to Sierra Bonner. And she said that what she had done was put the gun in the child's backpack and told him to give it to his father before he went to school. Now, the kid's actions kind of put the lie to that a little bit. Maybe she intended to do that and then forgot, because the way this reads, the kid was really surprised to see that gun in his backpack when he got to school. He had no idea that it was there. So for her to say, well, I told him, I told him to, you know, the gun was in his backpack and he was supposed to give it to his father. But it will never cease to amaze me. I mean, I'm not a gun guy. I don't have any guns. I've never had any guns. I've only fired two guns ever in my life. But I'm one of these people who, I don't care if you have them. Have them. Have as many as you want. It bothers me zero. What does bother me, and I've got a very good friend who is a gun guy, has a ton of them, and he gets just as angry about this stuff as I do, is if you're going to make that decision to have a gun, and this is part of the reason why I don't, by the way, is because I'm not that responsible a person. I know me. I screw up way too often to have deadly weapons around me. So, yeah, if you're going to do that, if you're going to make that decision, then you have got to exhibit the kind of responsibility that goes along with having a weapon of that destructive capability. And if you're not going to do that, please do us all a favor and never get a gun. There are just so many people, to my way of thinking, who should be precluded from firearm ownership because they can't keep track of their own shoelaces, let alone something that could take my head off. And you think about what could have happened here, right? So now you have, she entrusted a gun to an elementary school student. So you have this kid who is, who shows up at school with a gun. What if he hadn't gone to the teacher? What if he had gone to another kid and said, hey, check it out. Look what's in my backpack. And all of a sudden you've got a kid who's dead. You know, it's just, it's so vitally important. And I see way too many of these stories where people just do dumb stuff with their weapons. So that gets us out of Florida, and it gets us back here to Buffalo, where Joe Beamer has just entered the studio. Hey, Joe.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing fine, man. What's going on?
So we made a determination when we go as Wham for Halloween.
Yes.
Tanner's going to be Andrew Wrigley.
Okay.
And I will be George Michael.
You're the George Michael.
We had a very nice conversation. Now we have to study hours of film.
Yes.
To see what outfit we're going to portray Wham under. So that's the next step.
Oh. Yeah, because, I mean, the common conception would be the like the Choose Life t-shirt, you know, with the big block letters and all of that.
Yes,
and
that's the one we saw.
So, is that what you're going to do? We get all white head to toe and...
But, you know, then we had the I'm Your Man video where it's the button down with the blazer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's... You know, they liked the black and white videos. So so I don't know how you portray that in costume form.
Yeah. Well, you and I have... I don't know why this is, but you and I have not talked nearly enough about music because I was listening to you on my way home yesterday. And you mentioned seeing the blossoms, seeing the gin blossoms. Where was it?
At Art Park.
Yeah, right, Art Park. And you mentioned another couple of bands. And I'm like, this dude listens to my stuff. This is great.
There we are.
So you were obviously a Gin Blossoms fan.
Yes.
Do you know any of the other bands from the Tempe scene at that same time, mid-90s?
Well, I mean, so the Gin Blossoms stick with me because when I was a kid in Hornell, New York,
yeah,
the local station was a rock station. Yep. So if you didn't like rock music, you had to move that antenna around to get anything else.
Right.
And that would be playing at the lobby of the YMCA. So Gin Blossoms, Alanis, I mean, all that 90s, mid-90s, we're talking 95, 96.
Yeah.
If it was popular in 95, 96, I'd listen to that while I was waiting for swim practice.
Because I love the Gin Blossoms, and I'm also a huge fan of another band that came out of that very same place at that very same time, the Refreshments. And I don't know if you know much from them. They did the King of the Hill theme is theirs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And if I played you Banditos, you'd probably go, oh, yeah, I remember that one. Okay. Song about pulling a heist down in Mexico. It's a great piece of music. But yeah, just it's fantastic stuff, and it's sometimes a little... I don't know. It amazes me, like, which bands make it and which ones almost get there. And then just for whatever reason, they hover on that precipice and they never quite get over the line, you know?
You know, when we used to have Thursday in the Square, you know, you would always have someone that had a hit or two when they rolled through Buffalo.
Right.
And so many times I'd say, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be pointing back to this saying I saw so-and-so then. And you're right. It's amazing because some of them have such great talent. And you're like, how did that... I loved that follow-up. The New Radicals are a great example of this. The follow-up to the big song they had where they're running around the mall, I like that song better than their big hit.
Yep.
Somehow that didn't get the recognition, and they become a one-hit wonder, but that whole album, Mother, We Can't Get Enough, that whole album, there's not a bad song on it.
Do you know, this is embarrassing. I'm going to tell you this is embarrassing right here at the outset because I, frankly, am not happy with myself over this. I had been, up until about 3 days ago, sleeping on Fountains of Wayne.
Oh.
I don't know why. I mean, the name, the first time I heard the name, I was like, oh, that's Fountains of Wayne? Oh, come on. I mean, it just sounds weird to me. So I never really paid much attention. And then I was in the car over the weekend. I had to drive to Rochester to go pick up an amplifier because I'm me and that's what I do. And I was driving back. And I just had my phone, you know, playing music through the car stereo, and it started playing this song I'd never heard before, and I was like, I don't know what this is, but this is really good. And I flipped over, you know, off of the GPS and onto, you know, what my music list was, and it was Fountains of Wayne, and I was like, that's what they sound like?
Oh yeah,
it's like. They're great.
They're so much more than Stacey's Mom, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the one song that I, you know, kind of associated with them. But this one, it had a much warmer feel. It was kind of birdsy. Rickenbacker guitars. I mean, you start playing those jangly Ricks, I'm there. I don't care if you're REM or the Birds or, you know, Tom Petty. If you're playing that style, I'm there for it. And it was just like that.
So what made me go back to Fountains of Wayne, because, again, I just associate them with Stacey's Mom, of all people... I heard Colin Quinn on a radio show talking about Fountains of Wayne. And I said, well, if Colin Quinn is saying they've got to be something more than just Stacey's Mom, you go back and listen and go, yeah, they're pretty good.
The writing is excellent. The musicianship is top notch. I kind of want to now go do a deep dive into Fountains of Wayne and you know, hear the rest of what they've got, because I'm sure nobody does one song like that that's that good without having some follow-up.
Yeah, so, of course.
A deep album cut guy, too. What's coming up on the show today?
So I don't know if you heard the big news. Nexstar is acquiring Tegna, and we have a Nexstar affiliate and a Tegna station here.
Yeah.
What does that mean for the landscape of newsrooms on television? John DeShulo will be joining us to kick off the show at 3:06. And then I'm asking you, how do you take in news in 2025? You know, because if I asked that question in the 90s, well, I listen to the radio during the day and I'm watching news at night, but it's so different now. And, you know, is this in the back of your mind that let's be honest, one company owning two stations, what's that mean for these newsrooms? Again, John will tell us that at 3:06, and then we'll branch off of that. And I have to promote tomorrow, National Radio Day.
Yes.
We are going to have some of the old of your favorite voices right here on this show, including the guy that is probably the reason I'm sitting in front of this mic right now, Sandy Beach. We're reaching out to a lot of radio people and trying to bring back some familiar voices here for National Radio Day. So that's tomorrow. So my regular Wednesday with the Democrat segment is going to take a week off, and we're going to talk about the field you and I got into, John, radio.
Outstanding. Can't wait to hear it. Excellent. I'll be listening in after the top of the hour as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening into this one. I hope I upheld the standards of Joe's program, and we'll do some more of it tomorrow. Enjoy it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.